It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and you know, life is a struggle, and the battle is often fought in the area of the mind. As a matter of fact, Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And he says, "Therefore," I've always taught you, when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything to stand, stand firm then." And then Paul lists what we call the armor of God. I want you to notice these pieces of the armor today because they're really important in our Christian walk. He says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." See, you and I have the truth of God's word. So many times when Satan attacks us, he attacks us in the area of the mind. And what he does is he brings circumstances and lies and tries to convince you of something that is not the reality of God. You see, Satan tries to make you think you're not good enough for salvation. But the truth of God's word tells us, "Therefore, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death." When the devil tries to tell you you're going to die of a sickness, God's word tells us he bore our infirmities and carried our diseases, and by his stripes we are healed. So we have this belt of truth around us to know that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All this truth that will overcome all the lies the enemy will tell you. So Paul tells us, stand firm with that belt of truth buckled around your waist. And then he comes up with a very important piece of armor. He says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Friend, this is so important because righteousness is right standing with God. It's to be perfect in God's eyes. Now, in the flesh, we could never achieve that. The Bible tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And yet, here, God tells us that we have this breastplate of righteousness that God gives us when he equips us with this spiritual armor. The breastplate of righteousness. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Notice it's called the breastplate of righteousness. That's the area that covers your heart. And when you understand the righteousness that God has given you, that you're in a right standing with God, you've been restored to God. When you understand that, it'll protect your heart. See, the Bible tells us, guard your heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life. We live from our heart, and we need to have our heart established in grace. Because if you're depending on your performance, it's never going to be good enough. So the breastplate of righteousness in place. And then he says in verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? The gospel of peace is understanding that God made peace with you. He's not your enemy. Through what Jesus did on the cross, we now have been brought into relationship with the Father. And we have that peace with him that passes all understanding. And then Paul went on and he said, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Wow, the shield of faith. What is faith? Faith is believing something that God says, even though you can't see it. Faith is irregardless of your circumstances, you trust in what God has said. We are saved by grace through faith. So God gives us this shield of faith. And it says that we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, the battle that we face on a daily basis is really a battle of the mind. The devil brings thoughts in your mind, and what do you do with it? Do you let it discourage you? Do you let it bring you into depression? Do you let it bring condemnation in your life? Or do you, through faith, extinguish all those flaming darts the devil gives you and that he shoots against you and he brings into the area of your mind? Friend, it's so important that you take up the shield of faith today, that you live not in the realm of circumstances, but you live in the realm of what God has said is true. And then he tells us in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. See, my salvation that I received through Jesus and his finished work on the cross, it's like a helmet that protects your head. If you're going to ride a motorcycle, you better take a helmet because you could take a fall that would be deadly when you hit the ground. If you're going into battle, our soldiers wear helmets. Why? Because it protects their head. It protects that area of the mind. My salvation is a helmet. It makes me indestructible because God has given me this helmet of salvation. And then he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now notice, all the other weapons that we fight with, or all the other pieces of armor that protects us, they're all defensive. They're going to shield us from the flaming arrows of the enemy. They're going to protect us from everything the devil will do when he attacks us. But he gives us one offensive weapon. And what is that? That is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus went into the wilderness to fast for 40 days, the devil came against him and began to tempt him and said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you just bow down before me. What did Jesus do? He quoted the Word of God. He quoted the Word of God. See, friend, when you and I speak God's Word, then it is a weapon against the devil that will send him packing, because God has given us the sword of the Spirit. Now, in the book of Titus, chapter 3, beginning with verse 4, Paul writes a letter for pastors. This is to Pastor Titus, and look what he says in verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Now, let me tell you the difference in mercy and grace. Grace is when you get something you don't deserve, like our salvation. But mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God was merciful to give me a relationship with him by saving me through his work on the cross. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You see that word justified? It's a big religious word. We don't commonly use that word. I'm justified. And you might be thinking, Pastor Keith, what does justified mean? It means justified, never sinned. It means God now sees us in a perfect state, not because of our performance, but because of the performance of Christ on the cross. That verse 7 is so important. But having been justified by his grace, so we get something we don't deserve, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, when we are born again, we are adopted into the family of God. That is so important, friend. We're adopted into God's family, and we become heirs of salvation. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Paul begins with that word, therefore. And I've always taught you, when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. It's a heavy verse. He's linking all he said previously to this point, and now he's going to make his point. Here's the point in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Friend, don't miss the importance of this. We've been justified through faith, and the byproduct of that is we now have peace with God. I love that. You don't have to worry that God's going to destroy you or one day put you in hell because he justified you through faith. It takes faith to believe that God sees you perfect because you and I know our failures. We know our faults. We know all of our weaknesses. And yet we got to understand that God justified us through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. You've often heard me say the Bible is a book with two religions. It contains the religion of Judaism and the religion of Christianity. My Jewish friends, they use the same Bible that I use. They just don't have the New Testament. They don't have the new covenant of grace. They're under that old covenant of law. And law, under the law, you relate to God based on your performance. How perfect did you have to be? Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, therefore, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." So under the old covenant, you had to keep all 613 laws, and you had to keep them with absolute perfection. But under this new covenant of grace, which justifies us before God, I now relate to God based on what Jesus did on the cross, and I have faith that he paid for my sin. That is so important, my friend. Your faith is not in what you do, but now your faith is in what Jesus did. And here's the neat part. After he justifies us, after he saves us, the Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus, John wrote, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, Paul says we're justified. How? By faith. It really takes faith to believe God sees you perfect. It's not an easy concept for us to grasp, is it? And in 1 John 3:21, I love this verse. It says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God." What is your heart? Your heart is your thoughts, feelings, and your emotions. And to the Jews, they believed also the heart was the container of memories. Remember, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart about her young baby Jesus. So if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Satan is the author of condemnation. He wants you to think that you have no hope, that God sees you as a failure, that God certainly will not let you into his heaven. But you know what? If our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God. So the only way we can free ourselves from condemnation is by understanding we've been justified by grace through faith. God justified us. He made us perfect in his sight. See, condemnation kills you. It'll paralyze you, and it'll keep you from praying. You don't want to go to God and pray because you know he sees your failures, and you think, how could he ever hear me when I've been such a failure? Let me wind up today by reading Romans chapter 8. This is such a great verse. You need to commit this to memory. Therefore, begins with that great word, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? You do so by being born again. When I am born again, when I acknowledge my sin, confess my sin to God, and say, Father, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I believe he died for my sins, so I accept what he did for me. At that moment, God justifies you. He cleanses you. He gives you righteousness. And Paul's saying here to the Romans, now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. He loves you, friend.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional. He makes his mercies new every morning.